morning. I want to do a song for you here now that I wrote. So I hope you enjoy this. It's one that I've actually done in a few places, but never done here. Hopefully you like it. I wrote this riding on a train one time to New York City. So, you can't find the light to guide you through a cloudy day. When the stars don't seem too bright and you feel like you've lost your way. Just listen to that small voice that burdens you deep within. Just give your heart to Jesus and you'll live again. He'll make your soul shine brighter than sunshine, brighter than the moonshine. He'll make you feel better today. I tell you, he's worth your time. So come meet this friend of mine, and he'll make your soul shine, shine till the judgment day.
Making that a part of your week. We're currently right now studying the book of Acts, and boy, it really is
just speaking volumes, and I just hope you would come and enjoy that. So that's just a little personal note for me. And then the second thing is, I time to time, the Lord has blessed me with being able to do quite a few things, I guess, through life. And as some of you know, I do write from time to time. Well, just this week, my brand new book came out. And so it is available, and I would like to make it available to you. And so if you are interested and would like a copy of my brand new book, Five Things to Watch For, there's a sheet on the back. If you would just kind of put your name down, let me know how many you'd like. Christmas is coming up. No, I'm just kidding. Let me know how many you'd like so I can know how many to order. I'm doing all the marketing and promotions myself. I'm not going through a major publisher this time as I did last time. And just would encourage you to come and share a part of this with me. I think you'd get something out of it. It's quite a fun work that the Lord allowed me to do. So that's a shameless plug for my new book. And but now we'll get into the heart of what the Lord has brought us here to do. And we always do, of course, we like to have a little humor right to start off with. And this just jumped off the page at me, and I really thought that many of our folks would get a real kick out of this, especially Brother Bob. I just thought about you when I heard this joke. So three people were visiting and looking out over the Grand Canyon. One of them was an artist, one was a pastor, and another was a cowboy. Well, as they were looking on the edge of this mighty, mighty canyon and looking out over, the artist said, "What a beautiful picture to paint. Boy, this would be incredible." Well, the pastor said, "What a wonderful example of the handiwork of God. What an incredible handiwork of God." And the cowboy said, "Yeah, but what a terrible place to lose a cow." Oh, you know, I really appreciate the ladies in the office that do a wonderful job, and I just wanted to know that. You know, a lot of people don't have that blessing. They mess up the bulletin and they just make a mess. And I saw some of these bulletin bloopers that I think are just fantastic. I want to share just four of them here with you real quick. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. So you got all of your words, you know. Announcing in the church bulletin for the National Prayer and Fasting Conference, the cost for this conference includes meals. Oh, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things that are not worth keeping around. Don't forget to bring your husband. And the peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to conflict. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll begin at verse 16 and we'll read through verse 20. And the Word of God says this: "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the wonderful time that we've had so far. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts, the prayers, everything, Lord, that goes into making these Sunday mornings work. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you would continue to rain down over us here this morning, Lord. Let your glory shine in all things that is said and all things that are done. Lord, I just lift up this message to you that you've allowed this servant, Lord, to prepare by your hand. And Father, I just thank you for the inspiration for the words. And now, Lord, as they depart, I just pray they would honor and glorify you. I pray, Lord, that you would empty me, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you for the ability. Thank you for the call. Now, Lord, as we enter in to this time, surrounded, Lord, and honoring your word. And Lord, further, as we conclude, Lord, this two-part message, Lord, and observe your table of what Jesus, Lord, set forth for us on the cross. As we do this in remembrance of him today, may we also remember, Lord, as this message
departs from this servant, Lord, that you have given us all the things that we need to get through this life, and all the things that we need to fight this most wicked and powerful enemy. We just thank you for what you're going to do. We dedicate this service to you. We all ask it in Jesus' name. We all said,
amen.
Now last week I shared with you the first half of this powerful message, I believe, from the Lord, and as it comes to us from the book of Ephesians, we can clearly see this battle that we are engaged in. Now, mind you, we're not thinking about it, we're not looking at it, we're not talking about it. We are fully engaged. We are in this battle if you are a believer and follower of Christ. If each and every one of us are, we are neck deep in it. In the first part of this message, we looked at the importance, the must be, if you will, of being covered in the whole armor of God. Not just part, not half, not a few pieces, the whole thing. In order to fight this powerful, this sneaky, if you will, enemy who can come at any moment from anywhere, we need everything that God has provided us. Not just part of it. We don't need to pick and choose. We don't need to say, well, I'll just have this part today and maybe that part tomorrow or what have you. No, we need it all, and we need it all the time because we never know when we're going to need it. Being covered or girded, if you will, in the truth, which is the truth of the cross. We understand that need. We understand that we have to have that. The importance of being draped with or covered by the breastplate of righteousness and the growth that gives us and the outward showing of what it means to us, the outward strength that it shows to others. And we see the importance, or we learn the importance of soul winning, or shodding our feet with the gospel. In other words, being willing to go. Doug talked this morning of these young people who have surrendered to that call, who have been willing to go to a foreign land, a place they've never been, a place that could be dangerous. We don't know what could or could happen. We pray God's mercy and grace over each and every one of them and other missionaries around the world. But the willingness to go and share the gospel, share this wonderful news that we have been given with all who are possible to hear. And we looked at these things. We look at the stages of this battle. We understand how each piece plays an important role. But today, I want us to look at the other half. I want us to understand what Paul has put together here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to make us understand why it is important to need the whole thing. Why the rest of the armor is important. Because without it, without the rest of it, we're only half dressed. We're only half dressed. It's like socks with no shoes. It's like a shirt and no pants. We need the rest of the armor in order to be completely prepared, in order to be completely ready for whatever we are to engage this enemy. Paul made that clear earlier back in verse 13 where he said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." In other words, we've done everything possible. We've done everything possible to prepare, to be ready, and to be able to walk forward clearly. The whole armor of God. We need it all. Now this morning we're going to look at the rest of what God has given us as protection against the enemy. We're going to look at the remainder of what is being said here and see how putting it all on, having all of it on us, will cover our lives. It will cover our lives and our hearts. And it will give us powerful protection and the ability to fight the enemy. And we can fight him with confidence. We can fight him with power. We can fight him with agility and ability to win and win big. Like I told you last week, to win decisively, without a question, you know, when one team creams another one, you know, 50 to nothing or whatever, you know, whatever, one opponent knocks the other out where they can't continue on, we can win the same way against this powerful enemy. We know that he is a strong one. There's no doubt about that. We know that. We know that he is a strong enemy. We know that he is a fierce competitor. He doesn't give up easily. He doesn't give up easily at all. Sometimes I'm going to feel like that rascal just follows me around. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for that open door. He's just waiting to come through. He's just waiting for a stumble or a fall. Every one of us needs to be aware of that. Because see, he's looking all over the place. He's got agents all over the place that report to him and tell him what's going on. And that's all he's looking for is one opportunity to tear your life apart, to ruin things. Don't give it to him. If there's any way you can prevent it, do not give him that opportunity. Because see, he enjoys bringing despair. He enjoys bringing heartache. He gets a thrill out of our tears. He gets a thrill out of our sorrows and our sadness. He loves to see us hurting. That's what he enjoys. He loves to see us filled with doubt. He loves to see us acting as if there is no hope. So we can look at the state of the world today and understand he's having one grand old time. Because that is the state of the world today. Many people are acting as if there is no hope, there is no joy, there's nothing good to look forward to. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell, because there's a lot to look forward to. We talked about it this morning. We sang about it this morning. Glory to God. We think about how important it is that he is saying these things here. We need to understand the enemy and what his tactics are and what he is all about. Because we need to understand that when he's bringing his very best, when he's doing all he can to tear our lives apart, it is those times that we can call on the power of God. It is those times we can call on his promises, and we must continue to fight with persistence. Because you see, he's a pest. And what does a pest do? A pest keeps coming back. You get rid of them for a little while, they keep coming back. They keep coming back. We have to never give in. Never give in. Never show him weakness, because we've been given the ultimate weapon. You know, you think about when you see some of these military actions or different, maybe it's a good point, they have one of these guns that's, you know, as big around as the top of that communion bowl. I mean, you know, just, they come in, they got a weapon. They're going to take care of business. We've been given the ultimate weapon to use, the Word of God. We've been given that. It's up to us to learn how to use it. It's up to us to be willing to use it. Because you see, God, through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, he allowed Paul to write these wonderful instructions here so that we can see clearly what it is we're supposed to do, what it is that we've been offered and given in order to use in this great battle that we are engaged in. Again, last time together, we looked at the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shining of our feet in the gospel of peace. Today, I pick up in verse 16. And see what completes this armor. What protects our soul. And what protects our lives from this enemy. And it strengthens our walk with the Lord. These are the things that we need to see today. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now here, we see again in the words of Paul, and we understand this scripture, we see the totality of the gospel. See, God doesn't do things partway or halfway. It says here, you shall be able. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say might. He didn't say if. He said, you shall be able to quench. How many of the fiery darts? All. All the fiery darts. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. It is commonly a shield is known as something that brings protection. It brings protection. It's something that you can place before you or possibly hold in front of you to keep you from getting hurt or to shield you or get struck by something that could be coming your way to keep that from happening. We see this in this same verse, that Satan is shooting at us with fiery darts. He is shooting at us with fiery darts. Being shot at is absolutely no fun. Let me tell you, it is no fun. I lived through that experience many years ago. And after some long thinking, after a clean pair of pants, and after praying a whole lot, I don't think I want to repeat that too awful much. But the one thing that we need to understand that's different here, we need to look at what's happening here. We're being shot at with the fiery darts of the devil. You see, unlike the person in that particular incident that I tried to make light of, but it was very serious, that person had the intention of taking my life. They wanted to kill me. They said, I'm going to kill you. So I took that pretty serious when the bullets started flying. Satan doesn't care whether we die or not. That's not his goal, you see. A lot of people think, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We need to understand what the word kill means. It doesn't necessarily mean to take your life as far as breathing is concerned. He wants to kill your witness. He wants to kill your effectiveness, your ability. You see here, he is truly not interested in our life. He doesn't really care about that. His goal, his desire, if you will, what he really wants to cause is as much pain and anguish in our life as he possibly can. Because then he wants us to start crying out, why? Why me? Why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this and causing doubt? He enjoys the slow burning process. You see, the fiery darts, it all comes together here. What does fire do? Fire destroys, right? Fire burns down. Fire causes destruction. It can cause death, certainly. The list can get very long. But the point that we have to see is the darts that are coming our way are meant to be destructive. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to tear our lives apart. He wants our witness. Anything good that's in our life that the Lord has brought, any good qualities or talents or abilities or good witness or character, he wants to destroy that. He wants us to no longer be able to have influence over anyone or having the ability to help anyone. But we see, if we have the shield of faith, those darts can not only be deflected or deflected, but more importantly, they can be quenched. In other words, the Word of God is telling me here, that fire can be put out. It can be put out if I'm holding on to the shield of faith. When we read these first two words in verse 16, we see a tremendous message here. It says, above all. Above all. In other words, most importantly, the greatest part of the armor, if you will, the one sure protection above the rest is faith. Is faith. Because without faith, we're an open target. We're an open target. And the enemy will come. And he will come hard. And he will come fast. And he will come from every direction and every side imaginable. It can be anywhere. It can be any time. It can be at work. It can be at home. It can be through a loved one. It can be through a friend. It can be through a coworker. It can be anywhere, anyhow, anybody. The enemy has no shame. He has no shame. He has no care. He has no concern as to how, as to when, as to who. It doesn't make any difference as long as he gets his way. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. He's very, very selfish. And anything that he has to do to try and to see just how sturdy our armor really is, that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. That's why we need to understand we really need to take care of it. We really need to take care of it. We need to keep it polished. We need to keep it oiled. We need to keep it ready at all times. No stiff joints. No rusting holes. Only in the best condition possible. And only that condition is the one that's acceptable. The one sure way to get it and to keep it is to remain faithful. The one sure way to get what God is offering and to keep it and get our armor in condition the way that it's supposed to be is to remain faithful. In ancient times, all the warriors, they carried a shield. The soldiers, they carried a shield. In modern military actions and law enforcement, there are still times that shields are carried. There are two types. There's a large one and a small one. The large one was what's called the theorosis. I can't really say it right, but it's to be fully covered, if you will. It covers the whole thing in front of you. It offers a greater protection. But there's a smaller one that you walk around with, maybe allows you to move, and it's called the aspis. The shield of faith is the large one. It's the one that completely encompasses you. It's the one that protects you in the very, very best way in everywhere, in every area of our life. You see, the devil, he's got a big supply of darts. He doesn't run out, and he keeps firing them all the time. And we have to have on, and we have to keep on the whole armor of God to be protected. We've got to understand that in order to be protected, if we carry this shield of faith, and the fire of those darts are put out. They are put out because faith will overcome every attack. It will overcome every attack. Now, it may not prevent it. Don't take me wrong. You can have all the belief in the world. It doesn't prevent Satan from coming. In fact, that entices him just a little bit more because he wants to see just how strong he really is. You see, he's looking for a chink in that armor, if you will. He wants to see what our willingness is. He wants to see just how strong we really are. And we need to understand what power and ability we have to overcome everything that he brings. You see, these darts, they come in all kinds of forms. It can be pride. It can be envy. It can be unforgiveness. It can be fear. It can be worry, doubt, addiction, lust. I mean, that list is endless. It can be on and on and on with all the things that come. But faith is very, very powerful. It is very powerful when we allow it to work. You see, it's just like anything else. And you've heard me make this illustration before. But anything else, if we have the number one tool in the world to put together something or to fix something, if it lays on the shelf and we never pick it up, it doesn't do you a bit of good. God is saying here, I've given you all that you need, but you got to use it. You got to be willing to put it on. You got to be willing to put it into action. Jesus made it through the desert 40 days and 40 nights because of faith. He showed that example. Noah built the ark by faith. God came to Noah and said, build this giant boat because it's going to rain. Well, there was two things that nobody had ever heard of, a boat and rain. I mean, what's the need? What's going on here? But by faith, we have to know and understand that when he entered the ark and he took his family with him, the Bible says, God shut him in. God closed the door. Only faith could have allowed him to get through that. Only faith could have allowed him to trust God that much and to accomplish what he did. Abraham, Moses, all the prophets of old, and then on to the apostles, and now on to you and I, the believers of today, we see how important our faith must be. That's why Paul said, above all, faith has to be very, very strong in our daily life. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it is the declaration of action. It is the trust that we show. And it says it is the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. The evidence, really believing that God will. Really believing that he will. Faith, without a doubt, is one of our strongest, if not the strongest weapon. Now one may ask, well, how is that? And it's simply this. If we don't have faith, if we don't have faith in what we believe, in what we stand for, if we don't fully trust in the Lord and his promises, then none of it will work. We have all the weaponry. We have everything that we need. We have the covering. We have the armor. We have everything. But if I don't trust it, if I don't believe in it, if I don't believe in any of the promises that God has given me, then I can make it through this. And it certainly will not protect you. It will not protect you. Faith, true faith, is powerful. It is powerful, and it will protect us. It will protect us. We must believe that. moving on to verse 17. And the helmet, take the helmet of salvation. Now we know what a helmet does, right? We know what it's there to protect. It's there to protect our head from an injury or falling down. There's a lot of helmets. There's all kinds of helmets. In sports, there's football helmets and hockey helmets, and they wear hard hats and baseball. All these different things, there's all kinds. In recreation, there's motorcycle helmets and bicycles and skateboards and all kinds of different stuff. It is there to protect the head from a terrible injury, maybe even fatal injury. All these are designed to protect from the fall or from the blow, whatever may come our way. The helmet of salvation is there to protect our head as well. But not from injury, and not from a fall, but it gives us the assurance of knowledge. You see, we've got to understand, God is trying to protect our mind. He's given us this awesome and powerful tool called the brain. And He's given us this wonderful knowledge to absorb in there. He's trying to protect us so that we have assurance of knowledge. In other words, removing doubt. See, we can know without a question. We can know that we know that we know. We can know without a doubt. Knowing, the renewing of the mind, helping us to fully understand what and all we have come to know about God's Word. And that we know that it's true. We know that everything we've been shown through there, we know that our relationship with Christ is all real. And it's true, and it affects our life in a positive way, and we can do it without doubt. When we wear the helmet of salvation, we are not able to be shaken. We're not able to be moved. We, as far as it comes to, and as it pertains to the firmness and surety of our faith, even if someone comes up to you and smacks you in the back of the head, that's what they would do. But I say, wake up. Man, what's wrong with you? You don't really believe this stuff, do you? You don't really, really believe this, do you? You got on the helmet of salvation. That helmet will give you the confidence. It will give you the strong ability to respond with a very confident and a very firm, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I not only believe it, but I know it. And I know it without a doubt. And I know that my God is real. And I know that He loves me. We can have that confidence. We can have that assurity by placing on the helmet of salvation. There's an old gospel song that says, "You ask me how I know my God is real. You may doubt the things I say and doubt the way I feel. But I know He's real to me and He'll always be. I can feel His hand in mine. And that's enough for me." Really believe it. Really understand it. It changes your life. When we have the protection of the helmet of salvation, you can have a no-so salvation. Not a hope-so, not a maybe-so, a no-so. No more doubts. How many times have you ever gone up to someone, or maybe been witnessing to someone, or talking to someone about the Lord, and you ask them about eternal life, and do you know without a doubt, or do you know today that if you died, where you'd go? And they say, "Well, I hope so. I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I think I'm going to go to heaven. I'll probably go to heaven." There's room for doubt in every one of those statements, my friends. You need to be able to say, absolutely, 100%, I know if I drop dead on this stage, I'll be in the arms of Jesus. That's what we got to be able to say. That's what we got to have, a no-so. I once had someone ask me that question. They said, "How, Pastor, how do I know that I'm saved?" My reply was very simple. I said, "If it's real, you just know. If it's real, you know." Because we know when something is real. We know when we have confidence about something. There's great confidence, and you don't be moved or shaken or swayed about that. I mean, we can ask one another certain questions, you know, about certain things, and if we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we can stand firm on that. I know my shoes are black today. I know that. There's no question about that. I know that they're size 13. I can confidently argue that with you. I know that. But even more importantly, the helmet of salvation allows us to be able to have that same confidence about our faith and about where we stand with the Lord. There's no question about it. We saw a movie last night that Doug made mention of. And there was one scene in there. This lady, the Lord is speaking to this lady. And he says, "Won't you come and be with me? Won't you come and change your life?" She says, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I go to church every Sunday." She said, "I teach Sunday school. I do this, I do that." He said, "Yeah, you do all those things." He said, "But you've never asked me into your heart." He said, "You do it all for you." That's pride. He said, "You don't do any of it for me." See, he knows. She had that deceptive thought, as so many people do today. "Well, I do this and I do that. I'm a good person. I wrote a book about that. The revised edition will be coming out in 2 weeks. I'll tell you about that." The title of that book is "Hell is Full of Good People." Now that sounds strong. That sounds tough and mean. But it makes the point. A lot of people have been deceived by the same fiery darts and made to believe a lot of things that aren't real. They've been made to believe a lot of things and have confidence in things that will not get them anywhere good. Only the truth of the gospel and the helmet of salvation will allow that doubt to be removed. It will let me know without a question where I'm going. It protects our minds in a way that gives us a confidence and a surety about our salvation that cannot be swayed by anything. When we feel it, when we know that it's real, we can stand firm on it. We can stand firm just like we stand up for Jesus. We can do that. And we can do it with a surety. We can do it with clarity. We can know it without a doubt. We can stand firm against this enemy who loves nothing more than to make us doubt and wonder. We spend so much time in life, "Oh, I'm not sure." How many of us have ever said that? "I'm not sure." Well, there's one thing in life we can be sure about. And that's where we're going when it's all done here. Amen. We can know that today if you don't. I'm going to give you that opportunity in a few minutes. He loves nothing more. The enemy loves nothing more than to get into our ear and to whisper, "Are you really sure? Are you really sure? I mean, come on now. Look at you. Look at you. Look at what you've done. Look at the things that you've done. Could God really love you? Could God really use you?" Think about it. Think about it, planting that seed of doubt, beginning to make us wonder, "Wow, yeah, I did a lot of bad things. I was terrible. I did this for that. Could God really?" That is nothing but the devil. Get him away from you. Let him get on. Put on that helmet of salvation, and you can firmly turn to him just like Jesus did, and you can say, "Get behind me. You get on, because I don't need you around me. I have great confidence in what the Lord has done for me. I know what I feel. I know what is real. I know because I was there. Because I was there. I know what God did for me because I was there." Paul writes in verse 24, "Which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly." That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Speaking boldly, that is assurance without a question. That is knowing that what you believe and stand for is without a question real and it is true. And that is what the helmet of salvation allows for us to have. Being covered completely with God's armor can bring us protection and it can bring us assurance. And this assurance, my friends, can get us through this life. And more importantly, it prepares us for the next one. Because we begin to see clearly what is good and what is not. We can learn and see so much from the life of Paul himself. You see, his life prior to salvation, it was as far from Jesus as you could get. Let me tell you, he was all about persecution. He was all about hurting people and doing some pretty rotten things. But after he got saved, Oh boy, after he got saved, he knew it. He knew it without a doubt. And he put on this whole armor of God that he had provided for him. And he knew what he felt was real. There was no question. He wrote in 2 Timothy, in his letter to Timothy, he said, "For which the cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. And he is able to keep which I have committed to him against the day." Paul said, "For I know." For I know. D.L. Moody, evangelist from years ago, once said, I never knew a person who was effective in the Lord's service who did not have assurance of their salvation. Now think about what he's saying. I can't convince you effectively that I don't know myself. People fool people about stuff all the time. But to truly convince a cause and change, we have to know ourselves. Wearing the helmet of salvation gives you confidence. Confidence without a doubt. Verse 17 says, "And the sword of the Spirit," this is the last part, "which is the Word of God." Now we have come to know, I would hope through study, through reading, through time together, that the Bible is indeed God's Word. I would hope that we would have no questions, no doubts about that. That indeed it is the Word of God. And the Bible here tells us it is called the sword of the Spirit. It is said to be sharper than any two-edged sword. And the armor of God that he displays and gives to us here, the sword of the Spirit is the only mentioned weapon. The armor is a protection. The only mentioned weapon is the Word of God itself. Now one may think, one may ask, how in the world could a book, how could a bunch of words be a weapon? It's very simple. Because it's true. Because of the truth contained within this book. And it is powerful. It changes lives. These words, when they are applied indeed, souls and hearts are changed. These words, when they are applied, make Satan himself back down. He has no power against the Word of God. None. The power that God gives His Word is so mighty. Is so mighty. And He has laid out this battle plan and this protection that He has given us. And He is telling us the Bible is the only weapon you need. This is what you need to guide your life. This is what you need to show you the way. In other words, He's saying, if you have this, you don't need anything else. That's what He's telling us. That's what He's telling us. Because you see, we've got to understand what having God's Word means. It is more than merely holding it in our hearts. It is more than merely holding it in our hands. It is knowing it. It is allowing it to encompass who we are. It is allowing it to be a part of our daily lives. Applying it. Showing it in all that we do. David said in Psalm 119:11, "Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It become a part of his life. That's what we need it to be. It needs to be a part of our life. If we were marching into a physical battle against an enemy with a weapon, a gun, a knife, whatever the case, we would supply ourselves with the same thing, right? We'd go in with that. We'd go in. And we wouldn't just have it just in case. We'd have it there all the time. We wouldn't just have it over in a box so we could run to it just in case something, because we know something's going to happen. In the spiritual war, do we not know the same thing? We don't know exactly when, but we know that it will. And if we live any amount of time, we know that He will come. We know that He is real. Hiding God's Word in our heart, taking it with us. These words are powerful. Why do you think in this modern age we're in today, so many still want it destroyed? Why do we think that so many still do not want to hear it? Because it's true. And the truth contained within these words, my friends, they bring forth a light. And light exposes darkness. Light exposes those things that people don't want seen. Because That's just the way it is. And if we cover ourselves in this truth, if we get on this pathway that moves us toward righteousness, if we will witness and share God's word with others and allow our faith to grow, if we will do those things, and if we will conclude and come to the point of knowing that without a doubt, without one doubt, that we know, that we know, that we know, that we are saved and in God's presence when we're not here anymore, then we are covered by the whole armor of God. We are covered by the whole armor of God. And we can march forward with confidence with the Word of God in our mighty weapon, in our hearts, and in our hands. And if all of this is in place, if all of it is there, you, my friends, are ready for battle. You are ready for battle. So my question to you as I begin to wind this up, do you have on all your armor today? Do you have it all on? Or are you half dressed? A quarter dressed? Where is it at? Do you have on all your armor? Because if you don't, there's no time like the present to fix it. If you don't know without a doubt, if you haven't got that helmet of salvation on and you don't know without a doubt, today's the day you ask the Lord to come into your heart, change your life, and let Him make it for sure. Let there not be a question about it today, because our true, our real commander-in-chief, our leader, our general, Jesus, He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you today. Just call on His name. Just call upon His name. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him where you need work. And He'll send you the help you need. He'll show you what it is that you need. Stay strong. And as Paul mentioned in verse 18, stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. You can never pray too much. Whether it's a short couple of little words, whether it's a long on your face bawl and cry, whatever it may be, you can never pray too much. That's a promise. Strong day, it keeps you sharp. It keeps you ready for battle. Prayer is essential to win. We got to have it. We need it. It is essential for victory. I got a dear friend of mine. His name is David Hill. He's a Southern gospel singer. Traveled the world many years with Gold City and different ones, if you're familiar with it. But he wrote a song a few years ago on his new record, and it's called We Are a Christian Army. And I love the chorus of this. It says, we are a Christian army headed for the promised land. Jesus is our captain. We're led by His mighty hand. We're marching on to Zion to the beat of a holy drum. We are a Christian army, and we shall overcome. I love that. My friends, put on the whole armor of God. Don't wait. Put it all on. We all need that protection in every part of our life. Do it today. Do it today. And then move ahead with confidence. Move ahead with confidence, knowing we are fighting a defeated foe. You see, He's already been beat. He read the last chapter of the book. He's not going to win. Stand firm on the promises of God. Let us pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much that You love us. Thank You for all that You do. And now, Lord, as we take these next few moments and observe Your table, Lord, I just ask that You just examine our lives as we examine our hearts, Lord, and know without a doubt that we have on Your whole armor today, that we are covered completely in everything that You've promised for us. And Father, that it was made possible on the night that Jesus took the cup and the bread and shared it with all those that were before Him. And now, Lord, as we go into this time, may each of us, Lord, examine our hearts where we stand with You. And Lord, if there be any hindrance, if there be anything in the way at all, I pray, Lord, that we would remove that before we partake of these blessed elements. And just know, Lord, without a doubt, today we can put on Your whole armor, that we can fight the enemy, we can deflect his darts, we can know about our salvation, we can be strong and bold with our words, and we trust You for those things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.